Okay, so we're in the book of Matthew, and this morning is already February 2 of 2014, and we're going to talk about John the Baptist, and we're going to cover John in Matthew chapter 3, the first 12 verses. So there's two questions I want to try to answer today. Number one, who is John the Baptist? And number two, what's his message? So we're going to go through a time change. You're going to age 30 years in this past week. How many of you feel it? 30 years older than you were when we got together last Sunday. Jesus is 30 now, and his cousin, John the Baptist, is 6 months older. So when you think about this, you're 30-somethings. So John the Baptist, who is he? And when I started, well, actually, I'll tell you, this is my fifth sermon. That's because the computer kept going blue and everything I had done just went away. So it's the fifth time I did it. I'm not sure it's the best of the five. But one of the questions that I had is, spending time looking at John the Baptist, worth the time and investment to think about this guy? I mean, John is definitely a character. And there's no doubt about that. But are there things in his life that are worth us trying to figure out who he is? So here's what Matthew wanted to tell you. In chapter 3, verse 1, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea. John was the one the prophet Isaiah spoke about. He said, a messenger is calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. That's taken from Isaiah 40, verse 3. John's clothes were out of camel hair. He had a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. I decided January 4th that I wasn't going to shave or trim my hair for a year. So this time next year, I may look a lot like John the Baptist. I don't know, but I'm going to see what it looks like a year from now. People went out from Jerusalem and all Judea, and they also came from the whole area around the Jordan River. Now, who does Matthew say John is? Who is he saying that he is? Well, A, on your outline, the first one, John the Baptist is a preacher. And what is he preaching? He's preaching new kingdom life. New kingdom life. That's his message. Now, John's the first prophet in 400 years. Think about it. 400 years. If your internet service doesn't provide you with something in seconds, right? You know what I'm talking about. If the drive-through at McDonald's is moving slow, right? Your plane is delayed an hour, right? 400 years. Now, what was the message that all the prophets brought to the Jewish people before that? It was always the nation of Israel. This is a new message. It's no longer national pride, national dominance. It's no longer Jews are the greatest people on earth message. It's a new message. It's a new kingdom. It's a new life. John is radical. Radical. He's breaking all the rules. He's thinking way outside the box. He's preaching something new. And the people are hungry. The people are thirsty. They've been waiting 400 years. So, what is more important, the preacher or the message? What's most important? If I tell you there's a really nice little church in the suburbs of Chicago in Barrington, Illinois, what's the name of it again? Oh, yeah, Bill Hybels Church, right? Willow Creek. Is that how you think about it? I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, well, yeah, we're going out to so-and-so's church. I said, oh, yeah? What's the name of it? Oh, I don't know. You know, we're Les Preaches, you know? Les's church. Unfortunately, a lot of people, when they say, oh, that's the church where, some of you know me as Bill, that's where Wilmer's, oh. You poor folks, right? But that's what we do in our culture. You know, if I ask you for California churches, you're going to tell me people's names before you tell me Saddleback, aren't you? Because it's all about, in our culture, the preacher is more important than the message. And that's obvious today because I saw several churches that it's Super Bowl Sunday. And you come in the door and they give you tickets and streamers. And you don't just get coffee. I mean, they got nachos and hot dogs that they're bringing through church while you're eating. And Pepsi at halftime. I did schedule halftime into my sermon for you. But no Pepsi. But it's in our culture, this is true. It's more how you do it than what you talk about, isn't it? And John was not that guy. John was not that man. They didn't go see him because he had slick clothes and a good production team and a nice suit. They went because of the message. And that's the reason we should go to church, is because of the worship and because of the message of getting closer to Jesus. Anyway, I got to move on. Does John have a strong message for people then and now? I mean, it's as much now as then. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. Here's how I interpret that. Prepare your heart, open it to God, straighten out the things you can. That's what he's saying. Open your heart and the things you can fix, fix. The things you can change now, change now. Now, I don't know how well that shows up, not as well as I thought, but that's a picture over my motorcycle windshield, and over there in the corner is this little squiggly, can you see that little squiggly thing? And it says the minimum speed that you can do through those corners is 30 miles an hour. That's as slow as you can go through those twisty, turny roads. And that's what they look like. And those are fun roads to ride motorcycles on. But that's what most of our lives look like. We just wander around through the wilderness trying to figure out where we're going and what we're doing. We're not focused like John on straightening it out. Move forward. Now, can you pick the road you drive? We can, right? You can pick the road you travel. In Illinois, you got straight roads. In Florida, you got straight roads. So days like today, if you're going to drive down a straight road, why are you driving a bumpy one that's full of ice? Why not be in Florida where it's warm and straight? Right? But you can get there faster on a straight road even when it's icy. That's what John's saying. Take the straight path. Take the straight road. Quit wandering around. Quit trying to figure it out and move forward. Now, be on your outline. John was a prophet. So he was a preacher. He was a prophet. And he was the one Isaiah spoke about. So how many Old Testament prophecies has Matthew brought to our attention so far by chapter 3? Been keeping track? There were five of them about the Lord Jesus. How many of you can remember all five? Okay, little finger one. You can remember two. How about three, four? How many can do all five? Can you do all five? There they are. Born of a virgin, born in David's family, born in Bethlehem, star would appear, wise guys would show up. All five of those took place. All but the virgin birth, you can historically look up and prove they are a fact. Now, what prophecies did we look at last week? He's going to come out of Egypt, just like Moses, just like the children. He's going to come out of Egypt. And that's what Jeremiah prophesied. Now, there's a sound of deep sadness, Rachel crying for her children. She refused to be comforted. That's the massacre of the babies in Bethlehem that Herod did. So, there's more. Messiah comes from Nazareth. That's where the prophet said that Jesus would come. He'd be a Nazarene. Now, Bob's really going to like that I put a Nazarene in the sermon. Not going to be Baptist, not going to be United Brethren. He's going to go to the first church of the Nazarenes, right? Yep, that's where he came from. So add them all up for me, 5, 3. So are we at 9? How many would it take to convince you that this Christ is the one? How many? Is a 9 enough? So, Matthew said that. What did Jesus say about John the Baptist? What did he say? Here's what he said. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. He said, "What did you go out to see? A grass waving in the wind? Is that what you went to see? I'm about to tell you the truth. No one is more important than John the Baptist has ever been born. But the least important person in the kingdom of heaven is more important than he is. Since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven has been advancing. And I changed the color with force. And forceful people will take hold of it." And when we get to Matthew 11, I think I got a sermon right there. All the prophets and the law prophesied until John came. If you're willing to accept it, John is the Elijah who was supposed to come. Okay, that's what the boss, that's what the Lord said. My secondary computer just went into the screensaver, and there's pictures of all the grandkids popping up. Very distracting. Who do you think John is? Doesn't matter what Matthew said. Doesn't matter what Jesus said. What's important is, who do you believe he is? Is he telling the truth? Is he the real deal? Do you believe it? Have you ever told you, or maybe I should say, or should sing to you, have you, I told you lately my story and my disciple's name. One day Gordon Donaldson had an idea. Gordon Donaldson is a legitimate hero. And he had this idea that he needed to come up with a disciple's name for me. I was in the midst of a mess between a couple of men in the Ritson Thaler family and was kind of fighting like a little caged dog. And after it was all over, Gordon says, "You really need a disciple's name. I'm going to pray and we're going to give you a disciple's name." And they gave me the name John. And not because it was a disciple Jesus loved, but it's more this shaggy guy living out in the wilderness and the camel hair stuff. And I said, "Well, that's interesting, Gordon, because that is my middle name. I am Wilmer John Houck." And he says, "Well, isn't that prophetic?" So that was my prayed over disciple's given name was John, which my dad liked a long time ago and named me after his father. So anyway, see, John prepared the way for the Lord. So he's a preacher, right? He was a preparer. He was a prophet. Oh, my friend would like all those P's. I got to work, or I should say play with, a really good bulldozer operator this week. And when John the Baptist talks about making a straight road, there is nothing like a big cat bulldozer to fix a road. It just moves stuff. And you got somebody who knows what they're doing on top of it. Oh, man, you can get a lot done. See, John was a bulldozer type preacher. He didn't dilly-dally around. He just knocked it down, ran over it, flattened it out, raised it up, make the road. The king's coming. We got to get ready. That's John the Baptist. Now, do you think we've gotten a little too nicety-nice in the kingdom today? Do you think we work too much at being politically correct rather than speaking the truth? If you look at the Church of Jesus Christ today in the United States of America, it's mamby-pamby, wimpy. It's, oh, don't say the wrong thing. Don't offend the homosexuals. Oh, my gosh, don't talk about a massacre and babies. We can't do that. We're going to lose the election. Whoa. No, we got to speak the truth. You know, we got to love people, but we can't be too nice and too politically correct. We just got to, this is what the Bible says. I didn't write it, but it's right. I don't know if it's a literal 6 days or not. Doesn't mean nothing to me. It's 6 days. It's right. Anyway, what about Jesus? Did he talk about taking it by force when he named Peter? Didn't he say, "Peter, you're going to be my boy to kick down the gates of hell. I'll give you Simon, you're going to be Peter, and the gates of hell will not prevail against you. Now kick the door down and let's go," you know? Oh, Matthew 11:14. If you're willing to accept it, John's Elijah. So what was the first Elijah like? This guy's a cool guy. Elijah replied, "You have turned away from God's command." If that doesn't look like most of the people in our nation today, I don't know. "You followed other gods." That looks like our culture. He went, stood in front of all the people. He said, "How long will you take to make up your minds? How about you? I put it in black. How long is it going to before you make up your mind? If there's one God, serve him. If it's the world, serve it. But don't dilly-dally between the two. If the Lord's one, obey him. If Baal's the one, follow him. People didn't say anything. They did like most church people. They just sit there quiet like, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to bring attention to me. Elijah commanded, grab those 450 prophets. Let's take them down the hill. Don't let any of them get away. So they grabbed them, took them down to the bottom of the valley. He killed them. He killed all 450. Oh, that's not politically correct today. Muslims are going to kill us. I don't know. Hey, what was Elijah like? Was he politically correct and passive? Probably not so much. People went out to see John. They came from all over the place to see John. So John the Baptist was popular. He was a preacher. He was a prophet. He was popular, right? Could somebody be popular today without being political? Could you? Could you just speak the truth and God would draw people? I sure hope so. Can we rethink our personal passion for presenting the kingdom and Jesus Christ and the King himself? Can we rethink how we do that and maybe do it with a little more force and a little less, so to speak, femininity and nicety? I think so. Okay. Jesus was the only perfect man. John the Baptist was a great man. You and I can have perfect intentions and become more like Jesus and John. I'm never going to be perfect, maybe, but I can sure aim at it. Right? So can you. I may never be as great a preacher as John the Baptist, but I can sure aim at it, strive for it, walk towards it, quit wallowing around and wandering through the curvy roads and straighten it out and get going. Can't you? So, John the Baptist, now you made it to halftime. Everybody crack your Pepsis. What's John's message? Here's what it is. John preached in the desert. He said, repent. That's his message. Turn away from your sins. The kingdom of heaven is near. Literally, now the kingdom of heaven is here. It's right here, now. When they admitted their sins, John baptized him in the Jordan. And we can do that. John saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to where he was baptized. And he said to them, oh, isn't it nice that you came and took the good box seats to watch what I'm doing? Right? Oh, here, have an air-conditioned place. Have a comfy seat. Watch what I'm doing. No, he said, you're snakes. Oh, ever seen that Indiana Jones thing where he falls into that pit? And it's all full of snakes. Oh, snakes are creepy. Who warned you to escape God's anger? Produce fruit that shows you turned away from your sins. Don't think that you can say of yourselves, Abraham was our father. I tell you, God can raise up children of Abraham from these stones, from these rocks. The axe is already at the root of the trees. All the trees that don't produce fruit, he's going to cut down. He's going to throw them into a fire. Hell. I baptize with water, calling you to turn away from your sins. But after me is one who comes that's more powerful than I am. I'm not even fit to carry his dirty sandals. Think about it. I'm not fit to pick up his dirty socks after him. Ooh. I'll baptize you with water, he'll baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit. His pitchfork is in his hand. He's going to clear the straw from the threshing floor. He'll gather the wheat into his storeroom, but he'll burn the husk in a fire that won't ever go out. So, A on your outline. John, message, repent. That's it. Repent. Does it bother you? I say is rather than was. People correct me all the time when they say, oh, Julie was a really good woman. Oh, no, she is a really good woman. She still is. Her impact on people's lives, it goes on. Her life with Jesus, it goes on. It's not a was. It's an is. John the Baptist, his message not was a good message. It is a good message. It's relevant now for me. Maybe you. Repent. What I need. Maybe you know. Maybe a little bit. Change your life. Turn it around. Straighten out your life. Now, the Holy Spirit help you with that stuff, but you got to show up. He ain't going to do it all for you. You got to show up. What would that look like? Well, there it is. I'm surprised at how many road signs my wife took a picture of off the back of that motorcycle. That U-turn is done at a minimum of 100 miles an hour, 10 miles an hour. And there's another one. You can see me following somebody down a twisty turn around, 10 miles, turn around. That one, there's the U-turn. But that's really the way it should be. You know, you turn towards heaven, and you do it as fast as you can. You can tell me that the next time I write 5 sermons, highlight the picture a little bit. It's hard to see. So, what will you do? Continue to wander back and forth, or are you going to straighten out and get on God's road? It's up to you. You can pick the road you ride. John makes it very clear that not repenting, not seeking the kingdom, will result in a fire that doesn't go out. Jesus called it hell. John makes it clear that your family history doesn't matter. It's about you. Makes it clear that the works you did in the past, no. It's your heart today. Doesn't matter what you did 6 months ago, 6 years ago, when you were younger, you were active and you served. Oh, no. It only matters now. Just now. Is your heart right? Are you willing to straighten it out? B, John's message was the kingdom of heaven is here. The kingdom of heaven on earth started with the birth of its king, Jesus. And it will be fully established when the boy shows up again. And he's still going to be 30-something. And when he shows up, new heaven, new earth, judgment, you want to be ready. You want to hear the message. The kingdom is near, the kingdom is here, and you want to be on his team. Are you seeking the kingdom or the kingdom of this world? I'll guarantee that your focus is on one of the two. Right now, you're either thinking about what God has to say or where you're going for lunch and whether I'm going to get in time and done for you to get there, or the Super Bowl, or who's going to win, or you should have bet more on that than that. I don't know. But if you're not thinking about the kingdom and you're not thinking about your heart, that's so good. Does it really matter in the end? I mean, is it just words? Yeah. Yeah, it really does matter. It really does matter what you do with your heart. Jesus cares about it. So do I. I want mine, yours, ours to get right. We all get together on it. So, see on your outline, John's message was baptism after confession of sin. After they confessed, he baptized them. John's baptism, or any baptism, is an outward, open expression of an inward change. It's an outside thing that you do to show the inside thing. We did an outside thing this morning with a baby. And our hope is for the inside change. So, it's an outward expression. Are there people today who confess the kingdom of Jesus through baptism and it'll cost them a lot? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Franklin Graham showed me pictures this week of these nice young Muslim families, beautiful wife, children. Each of them's got a bag and they're walking. They became Christians. They no longer have a family. They no longer have a home. They no longer have a business. They no longer have an inheritance. Cost them everything. How much would you give? How much would you give to follow into the kingdom? Would you ante up at all? Would you give it all? D, John's message was produce fruit that shows you've turned away from your sins. Production is important. Fruit is important. What would that look like? How nice was John to the church people when they came to see what he was doing? How nice will God be to the people today who show up at church and are just coming to see what we're doing? There's really no difference. If you just come to see what's happening, you just come for the show, but your heart isn't touched, you don't really worship, you don't really seek, it's really not going to be so nice. Church attendance isn't going to be worth, well, I shouldn't use those terms. Did you pick up on the rock thing? You remember Jesus talking about the rock thing from the back of the donkey? Were they telling the truth or just making an illustration? Can God really make people out of a rock? All the evolutionists believe it, right? It's where we all came from, is from a rock. Why can't biblical people believe that we could be made from a rock? That's what all the evolutional theory is based on. Anyway, Jesus' message. John's message is Jesus. And Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. The new kingdom will come into your life, new tools to need to do what you need to do. So I worked in a steel mill for 20 years. I showed up and I used their tools to do their work. That's what God's saying. Just sign on, show up. I'll provide you the stuff to do the work I want you to do. Just go to work. Show up. I mean, when I went to the steel mill, think about it. That wasn't my crane, right? Wasn't my building. We made steel. We recycled steel. All he's asking you to do is recycle lives. That's it. Turn yours around, recycle yours, and then do it with somebody else. Seek the kingdom. We confess our sin publicly, and then Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit. You want more of the Holy Spirit? Clean some of the garbage out. Repent. Have you seen a fire this winter? What does it do? Had a nice oak fire going last night, roasted bratwurst on it. I do like bratwurst cooked over an open fire. I figured that out. I do like bratwurst. I got that far. What's a fire do? Now, here's the deal. Do you want to be in the fire? They call it hell. Or do you want to be baptized through the fire with the king? Your call. You can choose what road you want to ride. Crooked one leads to hell. Straight one. Now, it's not going to be easy. He'll baptize you through difficult circumstances. Fire. But, you know, when I was in the Army, we used to get new butter bar lieutenants every few months. And the joke was, anybody can be a good lieutenant when you're in garrison. You know, when you're in the building and all you got to do is shine shoes and walk around, anybody can do that. It's when the mud and the blood start coming. That's when you find a good lieutenant or not. And you know, that's you and me as we're baptized in fire. It's not when things are going great. It's when they ain't. That's when we really need to become the kingdom kids and be like John. Stand up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your boy Jesus. Thanks for his cousin John. Thanks for the man that John was. Thanks for the parents John's had. Thanks for the parents Jesus had. Thanks for the parents you give us. Thanks for the new parents that are in our church today and the new baby. And I just hope and pray that our lives are going to clean out some of the sin and we'll let the blood of that boy of yours just wash us as white as snow. You'll fill us with your Holy Spirit. We'll do some really good things as we forcibly try to move forward with your kingdom. And we just do it because you said to, and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen.